This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. Doing good considering, you know, everything's really crazy. The whole world right now is just, it's kind of nuts. And so, we take comfort in the fact that as soon as we think we're having an insane, out of control day, we know everybody else is too. So, literally on Earth. Yeah. So it's, we find ourselves in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic and all this kind of stuff. But it's presented new challenges, but also new interesting opportunities. And so, for fellowship and for things to do at home and new hobbies. And, we talked recently about, kind of sorting our pipe collections and all that kind of stuff. So trying new tobaccos. It's, it's interesting times. So are you doing okay?
Yeah, doing well, man. Stan. Very, very busy. We've got some, I feel like every single week we get new curriculum in. We had it from the district these last two weeks, and now we are getting it directly from the school, which is great. But I feel like as soon as I figure out a flow to this, like, it all changes. So,
and you basically say that because you're teaching your kids from home. Is that right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Like everybody, who's got kids in school and having to adjust, figuring out this whole homeschool situation. So I will say, like, you know, it really is special time with the kids. And, but like I said, like, as soon as I think I figured it out, it comes and changes on me. But I will say this, man, I'm looking forward to this week, especially because, as this podcast goes out on Wednesday, later today around, I'm blanking on the time. I think I told everybody 1:30, maybe it's 2:00. Check on Patreon though, cause it'll be there, but we're having a club member hangout for the supporters of Country Squire Radio, later today. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. It'll be our first ever Zoom hangout. John David, you won't be able to make it, but I'll be there and, doing my best to, hold court as Zoom will allow me to do. We were just kind of talking about this, beforehand, but, with all the additional traffic of everybody kind of doing the Zoom thing, now Zoom has like this built-in bouncer type setup. So it's,
yeah,
I'll be doing my best to make sure that as y'all are calling in, I'm approving you. If anybody knows how to just automatically approve everybody, let me know. But otherwise, I'll try to be
Yeah, I mean, for folks that aren't aware, like, you know, we did talk about last week on our episode just things to do, when you're stuck at home, sheltering in place, and all this kind of stuff for the current situation we find ourselves in, you may have heard this on the news, or if you've read anything about business or something during this time, the only business right now that's killing it is this thing called Zoom.
Netflix and D+ are doing pretty good too. But
they are correct. And some guy in Oklahoma that raises tigers and murders people or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. The Zoom thing, it's an online, way for folks to, have basically, video conferences, audio conferences, pulling in folks from all over the world. And, it actually happens to be, one of the ways that Bo and I communicate weekly, to produce Country Squire Radio. Well, now with all these folks, distance learning and, working from home and things of this nature, Zoom is off the charts, but, So it's interesting. I wish I would have had some of that stock like 3 weeks ago.
Or I know,
a month
right?
ago. You know, it's just nuts. But what's so cool? We talked about your pipe lifestyle last week. How to not waste your sequestering and all this kind of stuff. And pipe clubs are meeting through Zoom. You know, folks are connecting through Zoom. They're smoking pipes and hanging out virtually. In this interesting way. It's weird. It's a shame that we find ourselves in these circumstances, but you just never know what's going to come out of this kind of thing. And all of a sudden, you might have more people learning to be connected you know, virtually this way, you know, and folks that maybe weren't technologically savvy before picking this up now and you know, engaging in, you know, pipe communities in ways they haven't before. So pretty cool. You know, I mean, it's one of those things like, well, this kind of sucks, but at least we got this.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a point to that for sure, man. Well, yeah. I want to say that, of course, you know, a virtual pipe community is something that I think many pipe smokers are very familiar with through, you know, forums and, you know, Reddit and of course with YouTube and podcasts and that sort of thing. And, you know, one of the things that we try to do here is to, you know, from time to time, really, really kind of, open the old, you know, pull the curtains back, open up the hood, pop the hood, if you will, and let you guys really get in to help and tinker with the content. And so, we've got an episode coming up here in the very near future, a Pipe Culture Places episode, where we'll be taking a look at the smoking chair. We've already gotten some great emails in on this. We'll be collecting a few more over the next few weeks as we compile this episode. I'm really excited about this. If you've never listened to a Pipe Culture episode before, this is where we really put out a topic or a question or kind of an aspect of pipe community or kind of the pipe culture, and really let listeners kind of share their experiences or their thoughts on this subject. So the concept of a smoking chair, what does that evoke for you? Share those thoughts in an email and send those in. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com. Just either put pipe culture or smoking chair in the title and I'll be able to find it real quick.
You're probably getting pretty intimate with your smoking chair right
this is wow. No, you're right. What an appropriate time.
If you don't have a smoking chair, you've probably developed one or are kind of developing one and just haven't you know, realized it yet. So let this be part of your inspiration, you know.
That's amazing, man. Well, you know, it is great. Of course, this podcast is made possible directly from our amazing patrons and club members at patreon.com/countrysquireradio is the place to go to support the show. And man, we were just talking about this beforehand. I mean, it's insane just with the moment that we are all having, we're just blown away by the support that y'all have given us and continue to give us. And we really just, we want to say thank you in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. It's tremendous, to be honest with you, because, you know, during these, really uncertain times, you know, folks have stuck with us and folks are, you know, listening, you know, so much right now is just, you know, way to, connect, you know, as their way from, not just their pipe communities, but from, you know, friends at work and, friends at church and, you know, different social groups and things of that nature. And, we're honored to be a part of that. We're honored to be a part of your fabric right now. But you know, we are just stunned at the folks that, you know, have hopped on board to support us during this time. And man, it is just it's really honoring. So thank you to all our patrons and man, folks that that give regularly to make Country Squire Radio possible.
Absolutely. And hopefully just in this moment that we're able to you know, just, you know, I almost kind of feel like, especially when the strain of the world is on us, all the more reason to really kind of group together. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, we'll be doing that hangout later today as this podcast goes out live. You know, I'm going to do my best to get y'all some more YouTube content as well. I know that's sporadic, and those, generally speaking, man, if I'm being totally honest, those live YouTube hangouts end up being a lot more therapeutic for me because I just click the go live button and then, like, you know, people actually show up and then we kind of talk for a bit and I kind of share what's on my mind and, you know, enjoy my pipe. And it's just a nice little kind of moment there. So anyway, I'll be trying to do a few more of those. And then of course we've got today, we're kind of kicking off something that's going to be a recurring series, kind of in the style of Squire Selects, Tobacco Talks, you know, Pipe Smoking 101, Heroes of the Bowl. And, you know, I'll even throw Pirates and Pipe Tobacco in there. My favorite, my favorite series that nobody else likes but me. But no, we got the Pipe Club Spotlight series. And man, I am so thrilled today because joining us on this episode, we got Cody DeWitt.
DeWitt,
man. Cody DeWitt. Man, I got the opportunity to sit down and chat with Cody, who has been, you know, we talk about this in the interview, but recently kind of joined the pipe community. And man, when I say hit the ground running, this man has been hitting the ground running hard up there in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah.
With the amazing pipe community up there. And doing some great stuff. And of course, very recently, within the last several weeks, they had the Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em for Rob E. We talk about how that went, and he shares kind of some things happening. And then, of course, you know, he's got some amazing music. So this is going to be a very unique episode of Country Squire Radio, where we're going to lean a little bit into the radio. In fact, bringing us in, we're going to have some music from Cody DeWitt. Stay tuned. I think you're going to really love this music and really enjoy getting to know a prolific member of the pipe community as well.
So few and far between, but just to be with you, girl, I'd throw it all away. 'Cause the days we'll spend together will outnumber the ones away. Oh, and I can make a home out of anywhere with you. I can turn a homestead with you. I don't want to carry any burden on my own. So where you go, I follow, and I'll call it my
And that was Anywhere With You from Cody DeWitt. Ladies and gentlemen, off of his album, like I just said before the song, he's here with us now. I'm talking about an avid pipe smoker, member of the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, and a huge help to me personally today by jumping off mic. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody DeWitt.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro. Appreciate it.
Man, so happy to have you on the show. Of course, you've been a great presence in the community, man, especially up there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, remind me, you're not originally from Grand Rapids, are you?
I am, actually.
Really? Okay. So you've been there some time. You know, my family on my wife's side is all up in Grand Rapids. And, you know, I try to get up there every single year, hit out the Rogue River and do a little bit of fly fishing when I can. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How are things up there in Grand Rapids this time of year?
Well, I mean, at the moment, it's kind of beautiful. Springtime, not too bad, but you know, the coronavirus has got everybody scared inside, so kind of a bummer.
Yeah, man, it is what it is. My, you know, my in-laws were supposed to come down here. They're supposed to come down for the Lent to Remember, but of course, you know, due to the coronavirus, everything's being canceled. So,
yeah, we had a handful of us that were planning on heading down there too. So bummed that that couldn't quite pan out.
We'll do it again, but one way or the other, I have a feeling that I'm not sure what's going to happen first, whether or not, you know, y'all will be coming down here, I'll be going up there, but one way or the other, our paths will cross very, very, in the near future, assuming that everything gets back to normal, which
is none of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, of course, you know, like I mentioned, an avid pipe smoker in the pipe community here. You know, let's talk first about you and, man, how did kind of your pipe journey begin?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty funny story. The guy that actually plays bass in our band, he always smoked pipe, and I kind of made fun of him for it for the longest time. I thought it was kind of a weird thing for a 20-something-year-old guy to do. I always kind of made fun of him over the years, and then eventually another one of my buddies just gave me one, like a Dr. Grabo, kind of a kick-around pipe, and I was like, all right, sure, I'll give it a shot, because I was used to smoking like Jarms or Black and Milds when I go camping or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, why don't you try a pipe? So I tried it. I didn't have any tobacco, so I took like a Black and Mild apart and like stuffed it in the pipe and smoked it. And I was like, man, I feel cool, but I feel like I'm not feeling cool for the right reason.
Right.
So I was like, I got to do something about this. So he took me down to our local tobacco shop here, which is Indian River. And the guy behind the counter there, his name's Tristan.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave me such an awesome rundown of all the tobaccos. Let me smell and try a whole bunch of stuff. And I got sent home with a bunch of really cool tobaccos. You know, some starter stuff, some 1Q, some Black Feather, which is Lane BCA. Loved it all. It was awesome.
I mean, those are just classic. Like, I mean, like, I feel like almost everybody, especially in the modern era, who've kind of like dipped their feet in, like Lane 1Q, BCA. I mean, like, that's like the entry level package right there, right?
That is. And what was actually really funny is I took a liking to just straight up Latakia, like they had it, like in a blender thing. I was like, I'll take some of that. And I just stuffed it right in the pipe and smoked that. And I was like, this feels like I'm on another planet right now.
So the welcome wagon plus like the deep end, you went full all the way through.
All the way in. So yeah, Tristan really showed me kind of the ropes of all the tobacco there. And he actually ended up breaking the pipe that I brought in with me because it was like glued. The stem was glued right in the stummel. Ooh. So we tried to take it off and broke it. And he gave me a really good price on a little olive wood, like almost like a little bent billiard. And it's been one of my go-tos ever since. And then someone told me, well, you can't smoke the same tobacco, like all these different tobaccos out of the same pipe. So you got to get more. And it's been a real problem ever since.
Man, that's amazing. So what year was that?
That was actually last year.
Okay. I thought that was the case. Cause obviously, you know, I know that over the last past year, you've been a pretty avid member of the community there, especially at Indian River and, the Pipe Club, you know, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the, events and one in particular here in just a minute, but, man, you like when I say this man hit the ground running, like you have been an active member of the community. You've been an active listener, Country Squire Radio, sending in some great content. You know, I think at one point, it was months back, I was trying to do some like, something or another with technology. And you were like adamant about jumping on immediately to help out. You clearly go straight for the deep end fast, which hey man, I welcome it, brother. It's great.
I've been told that once or twice about some other things. So no surprise there.
Well, obviously, as listeners just heard, you're not only an avid pipe smoker and a big member over there at the East India River group up in Grand Rapids, but also
not East India, it's Indian River.
Yeah, all right, sorry. You know what? I get so much flack for this. I've always gotten flack for this whenever I go up and visit because it started off as a mental tick just from the standpoint of like, you know, I'm big into pirates and so the East Indian Trading Company and kind of like how that ends up being like top of mind.
That's kind of what I figured. You're just really into the pirate.
That's it. Always happens. It sneaks in. Like every single time I've gone up there for the meetup, I call it that every single time. I think I could be wrong. The folks at the shop can hold me accountable here. But back in the day when we used to do shop talks where I would like feature different shops, I'm pretty sure in that first episode I called it the East Indian River Trebek. But no, anyway, man, yeah, of course, aside from, you know, being, you know, a huge member in the community, you're also an incredibly talented musician who's surrounded himself with some amazing musicians as well for your band. Talk to us a little bit about your music.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been writing my own music for, seems like forever now, probably almost close to a decade. And I never really had the drive to be in a band where I was fronted. Like I'd been in bands, like I played in a metal band and toured around the country for a while and, you know, played at our local church here and there, but I never had the drive to record my own music. It was just kind of something I never really wanted to do. But my, the roommate that I was living with before, we built a studio in his basement, you know, full on recording studio. And he wanted me to record a song for his, like a demo he was putting out to kind of feature some stuff that he had been doing out, you know, feature out to other artists. And I asked a good buddy of mine, Jeffrey, who was also a pipe smoker at the time. He's a really great violin player. He's played for all kinds of artists around the country. And I was like, hey, man, Matt wants me to record this song. So I got one. If it sucks, I'll pay you, whatever. I just think it would really sound good with some violin. So I play him the song, and he's like, no, that song was actually really good. I was like, oh, all right. He's like, do you got more? I was like, yeah, I got a whole bunch. And I probably sat there, played four or five songs. Like, these are actually really good songs.
Man.
So I brought them to my friends and like, hey, I got these songs. And everyone's like, wow, this is actually really good. And it's really funny because it seems like the people that are in the band with me, at one time we were all playing at like a youth camp retreat. And now we're like playing in bars, singing about whiskey. And
I love it.
Being real sad.
Man, now, no. Your song, Me and the Whiskey, like I can't tell you how many like times I've listened to that song. It has been a go-to on like a contemplative evening where I'm kind of reflecting on the day.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Now it's also that, you know, when you kind of get a chance to show off your talent to those around you, that they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Like, you know, like, you know that they're honest because they're surprised that it's good. You know what I mean? Like they're not faking it.
Exactly. You know, it's like a certain level of being humble, but also like kind of being too afraid to put yourself out there. Like you don't really know. So you just need someone to be like, hey man, this is actually pretty good. And that was my buddy Jeffrey for me. And now we're, you know, not real deal band, but we play in a band.
Hey man. Yeah. You got an album out there. It's legit. It is absolutely legit. And the great thing is, of course, the pipe community is filled with such talented folks and we get the chance to showcase the talent that's out there. It's always exciting to me. You know, I would love to see like, you know, the Chicagoland Pipe Show or various pipe shows actually reach out to folks like yourself that are musicians and pipe smokers and able to kind of perform. That's something that John David has done locally at the Squire. Typically, anytime there's an event, there's a local musician who's, you know, a pipe smoker and a customer at the shop or likely a member of the pipe club. And anyway, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know what your travel ability is, but I just want to put it out there.
I talked to John David about having us come down there for, because I was already going to be down there for the lunch. I was like, yo, I'll play.
That'd be incredible.
And he never said anything. So, you know, whatever. But
well, part of that is just the hectic nature of putting on and then ultimately postponing. I can officially say postponing. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
So hopefully, man, hopefully it's in the cards and down the road. But then, like I mentioned, you've been very active in the pipe smoking community there up in Grand Rapids. Out of curiosity, like where do you get a sense for kind of the pulse of where the community, where the club is at in your area? Because it's something that of all of the various kind of communities that are out there that I've been able to either be a part of or kind of connect with over the years, Grand Rapids and kind of the surrounding areas has to me been the one that has like, I remember going in and there was kind of this sense of, you know, some people thought they had such a great community and other people were frustrated with some things, but it seems like over time it's just continued to be very strong. There's always a very strong contingent in Grand Rapids.
Yeah. Yeah. So I joined, a year ago when I started smoking pipe, and, I'm currently the president of their pipe club now. And one thing that we're kind of blessed with, that I don't really see in other pipe clubs, like we went down to St. Louis, me and Eric, and, the pipe show there, a lot of, you know, older guys, and women, you know, some women there as well. But, at our club, you know, I'm 28 and it seems like a lot of people are actually right around that age range.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a pretty active community of younger people along with, you know, folks of all ages that are really into the craft of pipe smoking. And I just think that the Furniture City Pipe Society for the past few years have just done a really good job at being very open and a part of the brick and mortar side of Indian River and kind of getting people to join. You know, we offer discounts at different places around Michigan, or at least we try to, definitely at Indian River. And, you know, that little push of, like, hey, we'll give you a discount, but, you know, there's a bigger aspect of the pipe community that you don't really get, you know, people just sitting around smoking at home. And what's the point of that? You know, you sit down with someone that you barely know with a pipe and they'll tell you just about anything. And that's what I've learned over, you know, just a short amount of time, that people are very open and very willing to have very honest communication with people around the pipe. And that's what kind of drew me. I'm very drawn to people who are kind of honest and very community driven. And that's what I get out of the pipe club, especially here at here in Grand Rapids. And from what I understand, we're one of the bigger pipe clubs in the country. And, you
that's
know, I take a lot
perspective
of
that I see for sure.
Yeah. And I definitely take a lot of pride in being a part of that, you know, coming from different aspects in life, whether it be at my church or in bands or in local music, you know, community is something that's really important to me. And the friends that I've made and the people that I've gotten to meet through Furniture City Pipe Society, you know, makes me want to be a part of it, makes me want to spread it more, get younger people in, get older people in, get anybody in. If they want to smoke a pipe, come and hang out with us. You know, we meet obviously a lot at Indian River, but I live actually with Rush, the producer of Father the Flame, and we have people over at our house, and we just, you know, we have like a little lounge that we have set up to people to just come and hang out and smoke with us and have a good time. It doesn't have to be at the same spot. It can be wherever. We just want to, you know, get people to come out and enjoy the community of pipe smokers.
Yo, I'm staying with you guys next time I'm in town.
It'll be a party for sure.
Yeah.
No, the boodles will be flowing.
Last time I was up there, Rush took me out to breakfast at like a really good breakfast place. But we didn't get as much time to hang out while I was in town. But no, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that y'all were, okay. All right, I didn't know y'all were, you were on at his place. That's awesome.
Well, the funny thing about me and Rush is I knew Rush years and years and years ago before Father the Flame was even a thing.
Listen, everybody knew Rush years and years and years ago. They may not.
You know, that is true. He started learning that I smoked pipe and he like freaked out. And, you know, I went to one of the premieres that they had with Father the Flame. And that, honestly, that film also really got me into smoking as well. You know, I got to meet Lee and smoke one of his pipes with him. Was a really cool thing to do. And yeah, just that. It's very interesting to see, like, I feel like Grand Rapids is a very interesting hub for this community of pipe smokers that are doing these really cool things. And it's just bizarre because I actually lived in the church that our club got started in. Not that we're like a religious club, but I was like, what are these people doing in my basement? This is weird. And then Rush, who made this film, is I've been friends with him for forever. And it's just really crazy to see, like, years down the line, now it's all kind of coming together as this really cool community of pipe smokers.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, there was, it's funny, gosh, this was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And my wife and I, we were in Grand Rapids. I was actually, it was the night before we were going to do one of the meetups at the shop there. And we were just downtown. We were going to like some Norwegian restaurant or something like that. And walking on the side of the road, I just hear Bo, Bo, and like with his head out the like side of a car, it's like Rush and his beer just flowing in the wind. I was like, man, what are the odds?
I mean, that sounds like a very rushed thing to have happened. So yeah, I'm not really surprised.
The odds are high. The odds are high. Yeah,
for real.
That's great, man. Well, of course, just recently, like I said, the community is strong, and you know, seeing kind of it all come together, especially from your vantage point, coming in, you know, newer, but very much kind of in a deep capacity. Y'all have been very active there, and of course, we've been mentioned on the last few months here, the events, the benefit that y'all had for Rob E. And you want to let us know a little bit about how that kind of came about. Of course, folks heard your name on a constant as we were telling folks to contact you as things, you know, were kind of coming together there. And so, you know, we know that you were really kind of leading the charge. Tell us a little bit about let's back up a little bit. Give us how did you get to know Robbie and kind of let us know what, how this kind of came together.
Sure. Yeah. Robbie is one of the members of our club as well. The staples of having, you know, his artisan pipes at Indian River and just, you know, being around him, getting the chance to talk to him, and learn things about his life has been really, really interesting. I wouldn't say that I'm like super close with him, but I felt like I really wanted to do something for him in light of his, his diagnosis. And it kind of came about when we were at a meeting, a pipe club meeting, where we should really do something. And that night I cooked up this poker idea and I kind of ran with it. he's one of the staples in our community for sure. I mean, his artisan pipe work it speaks for itself. If you've seen it, it's more art than anything else. And all of his pipes are incredible smokers. I have one and I absolutely love it. Just getting to know him, the staple of the pipe community that we have, not only here in West Michigan, but, he sells his pipes at, Chicago and around the country as well. It's just been really, real pleasure to get to know him and kind of explore some thoughts and ideas with him about, random miscellaneous things. It's been good.
Yeah. And so how's he doing? How's he doing currently?
Some days I don't want to speak for the general, but sure. Some days are good and some days are bad. And he knows that he's got the back of the pipe club for sure. And his family and friends around him. So whatever he's through work, we want to be open and available to help him out. But yeah, some days are good. Some days are bad and kind of just roll with it.
Yeah. Makes sense. No, man, I'm glad that y'all are there for him. And it sounds like this event was a pretty big success. You say that kind of the idea of a poker tournament really, really just kind of came on you. And it makes a lot of sense because, there are some activities that kind of just generally go hand in hand with pipe smoking. I mean, like one way or the other, like it's just part of the shared, visual nature or what, smoking a pipe and sitting in the easy chair, smoking a pipe and kicking back with maybe a glass of scotch, of course, smoking a pipe, and of course playing poker. In fact, as I'm saying this, I realize we probably should do an entire pipe culture series on some sort of games or activities that are connected to pipe smoking, because poker is definitely at the forefront. How was it? Like, did y'all have some folks show up and was it fun?
Oh man, it was a blast. I had some fears that it might not be a very big turnout. And I was kind of talking to some of the guys that helped me put it together. And people came out in droves. It seemed like the shop was packed. We did it at Indian River. It was packed. People who came and played, we all had an awesome time. There was a couple folks that came from around the state that we had never even met. And we were just pumped that they were welcome to, come out and hang out with us and, just be in support of Robbie. Between the poker and really, honestly, the raffle part of it, just really brought in the community from all over the place. I mean, I had so many people email me directly from hearing about the event on Country Squire Radio that donated up to $100 in raffle tickets. And I was really moved. And I think that just really puts a spotlight on the pipe community in general, how giving and how generous the people are, not just the people who donated actual money, but people who donated pipes and tobaccos and everything else that they, ranging from handmade to something that they had in their cellar. People are just very open and very willing to donate items for you know, a pillar of the pipe community, and it was really moving. I was pretty emotional seeing all this stuff come in, and I'm sure Robbie and his family were feeling the exact same way. It was just really impressive.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's no surprise that the community is strong. It takes care of its own. I mean, there is definitely a big heart that goes along with kind of the pipe smoke community. Man. So, you know, I got to ask, with kind of the donations and things coming in, in terms of like the pipes and pipe tobacco, did anything kind of come across that was like, you know, kind of stood out as a little bit, maybe kind of special, so to speak? Like, was there any kind of, maybe a hand carved pipe that really spoke to you, or a pipe tobacco?
There actually were. I'm not everyone that donated, I'm so thankful. So
I
want to lift up these two guys, but everyone that donated, I am still like, they're still hold really high places. But the two that really stuck out to me, there was a pipe that was donated by Joe Henkel, who's a good friend of Robbie as well, and I've met a couple times. He donated this really beautiful bamboo shank, smooth pot pipe that I was like, I didn't want to win anything because it would probably look a little goofy if I won something.
Right.
But I was like, that's what I want. Like, I just saw it and I was like, just amazing. Just this beautiful pipe. So that was, one of the coolest ones. The other two pipes, I'm going to throw out another name here real quick. There were two pipes that were donated by Paul Menard, out in the West Coast, that were just also very beautiful. This like Sitter Rhodesian with this cool orange stem, and this Freehand Dublin with this crazy green stem, both very beautiful pipes. And he gave us two pipes, and I couldn't believe it. Like, he's, a very well-known, pipe maker, and his, he's not giving that stuff away.
No.
And I was just really like overwhelmed by the openness and willingness for these guys to give. And then also JP Urquiza, I think I'm saying that name right. I really hope I am. He donated a sandblasted poker pipe, which I felt like was the most appropriate thing that you could probably win or donate for it. And so I was just like, those pipes, I mean, they were all awesome. So many cool things came in, but I think those four, I guess, and those three guys really stuck out to me. Just the level of craftsmanship that they all had, the willingness to give, and just because it was awesome. I was just pumped to see these really beautiful things come in and go to what I thought was a really beautiful cause.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, hats off to the community that really got around and surrounded Robbie. And man, hats off to you for really driving this thing forward and taking ownership of it. Cause not only did you create some amazing support for Robbie and his family, but I think that events like this kind of give everybody that opportunity to really kind of, get to know one another and really see those commonalities that, the ties that bind, as we did an episode, a couple of years ago when we lost a dear friend of our local pipe community. And it was kind of a reflective moment for us just to see like, no, you know what? Like there is something to found family. There's something to the people that, you connect with and share even something like this, even something like sitting back, smoking a pipe, because really what you're doing is you're sharing life with each other in that moment. And it's a beautiful thing.
A family that you get to choose.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, man. Well, of course, your band, Wilder Love, the album live at Decker Studios. I know it's available on iTunes. How else can folks kind of keep up with you, find your music?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at We Are Wilder Love. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, like you said. And Me and the Whiskey is available on Bandcamp only at the moment.
It's a great song. Folks, we can kind of go back and hear. We played that on a couple episodes back. Man, I think we're gonna be taking us out here with Everything from Wilder Love. Again, be sure to find out all their information. We'll have that in the show notes as well. Cody, thanks so much for coming on Country Squire Radio this week.
Man, real honor. I really appreciate it, Bo.
I can still remember holding your hand for the first time, sleeping on the beach on a Saturday night.
then you told me sweetly, I felt at home when you're with me. That's when I knew to me you'd be everything. Whoa. Time stepping off that plane and into my arms. Oh, and I can still remember listening for the first time. Losing you would be like cutting my fingers off. Whoa.
All right, man. So there you go, man. It's Cody, like, amazing dude. Can't wait to hang out with him next time I'm up in Grand Rapids.
I know, man. One of my most the things I was looking forward to most this year was actually having Cody and a group of guys come to Jackson for the Lunt to Remember. And, you know, they were going to come down for the event that we had planned this past month and with the International Lunting Society and all this stuff, and had, you know, made their road trip plans and all this. And, man, I think even our friend Eric Karlosky was going to tag along. And it was really exciting. And, man, it fell through. And so I just can't wait to see Cody again, all those guys up there, and man, hug their necks and enjoy a bowl with them. So what a great community. We love those guys and are so thankful for what they do.
Yeah, and by the way, for the next time we end up doing a spotlight, I'll be sure to post a message out to the patrons. And this kind of came together very organically because I was looking for, you know, possibly kind of featuring some music on the show, and of course he was top of mind. And then as this episode came together, I realized, you know what, this is a great kickoff to a new series. So I'm excited to to showcase some various members of the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, especially who are doing some amazing things and really active in the pipe community. So look for more down the line, and yeah.
So many interesting folks that, you know, are a part of our pipe club and, you know, have been dedicated listeners from the beginning and you know, that we've picked up along the way too, obviously. But it just shows the incredible talent wealth and all that that exists in the pipe community. And, man, we're glad to be the source of entertainment for some of these guys. So that's great.
Absolutely. Man, speaking of glad, I am so glad for our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, because right now, they are doing their best to take care of one another, to shelter in place. And that, I mean, that has ramifications. Man, let's share a little bit about the news that's going on with Missouri Meerschaum.
It is, man. It's kind of amazing. Of course, we know, we talk about Missouri Meerschaum every single week, an American company based in Washington, Missouri. And man, so many good products that have been coming out of there for over 150 years. Man, Missouri, just like so many states in the United States right now, has issued a shelter in place order. So they have shut down their factory. You know, you've got to remember, these are handmade, in many cases, handmade products, and even the ones that aren't handmade are, you know, are operated by carefully crafted and maintained machines that are operated and maintained by real American humans. And man, those folks up there are doing their best to be you know, really safe, and of course obeying their local ordinances and all that kind of stuff. But man, the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, they currently have, you know, closed their online presence at corncobpipe.com, you know, but look for them to be back here within the next month. You know, a lot of their best-selling products are still available, though, through your favorite online retailer if they happen to be shipping. And so, you know, check out your favorite online retailer, you know, and you know, many of them are still shipping from locations around the country, you know, and they carry Missouri Meerschaum products as well, you know, favorites like the Legend, or the Fifth Avenue, or one of the Cobbett series pipes, the you know, the Patriot. We have so many that we love and know, and you know, also the great tobaccos like the 150th anniversary and Independence Day. So just check those out where you can, and know that real soon the folks at Missouri Meerschaum are going to be back at work making those American you know, artisan pipes there for your smoking pleasure in the future.
Absolutely, man. You know, now if you've ever been kind of curious and as to what that looks like, we posted some videos from our visit to Missouri Meerschaum, as well as some pictures during our episode 300, where we kind of showcase just their entire like layout. It's pretty epic. If you've never had the opportunity, once travel has returned, you got to check out their headquarters there, because it's an amazing experience. And if you've got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself doing so. We'd love to retweet those pictures out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we got a pipe question of the week this week coming into us here from Charlie. Charlie says, greetings, John, David, and Bo. Hopefully this finds you and yours doing well at this time. In regards to non-filtered pipe cleaning, all the normal precautions have been taken. Pipes have cooled off, etc. Some say pull your pipe apart and clean it after each smoke. Others say only pull it apart for a deep cleaning. And I've heard never, ever pull apart your pipe unless it is absolutely necessary. I have a few pipes that are in the $200 range that I purchased new. They have been smoked 7 to 10 times each, and I have never pulled the stems, but I do clean them after each smoke with Briar Fresh and a couple pipe cleaners. The last time, I did use a bristle cleaner on each as well. What are your thoughts on this, John David? I would ask Bo, but if he's been playing pirate, he would probably tell me to clean my pipe with a sponge, a screw, and a ram. A derammer. Thank you both, and keeping for keeping our community together and happy during these trying times. Again, that is from Charlie.
Man, well, Charlie, man, sounds like you've got an awesome pipe collection, and you know, several that you've been taking really good care of, which is awesome. So I love folks that actually clean their pipes. I, you know, have these regular customers I literally see every day that for some reason have not learned, you know, what pipe cleaners are for yet. They still think they're only used for kindergarten art projects. But so you know, the opinions about cleaning your pipe, right? When do you pull it apart, how often, and what situation, and like every pipe smoker, there are a lot of opinions out there, very strong ones about related to this. So I'll tell you what I do. So I don't take my pipes apart if they don't have to come apart. If I do sit down and do a deep cleaning, maybe once a year, I'll take my pipe apart then and just make sure there's nothing, kind of stuck up in there. But generally, if my pipe will run a cleaner from the stem, the button of the stem, all the way into the bowl, I never take it apart on a routine basis. Now that's just me. Exception to that rule, if you do own a pipe, when you buy a pipe, you need to take the stem apart and see if they're, if it's a really, really well-made artisan pipe. The tenon of the stem, which is the portion that, sticks up into the briar, it's the more narrow portion, that cylindrical portion that sticks up into the briar, if that tenon fits very snugly inside what we call the mortise hole of the pipe, the hole that is in there that receives that tenon, then you really, if it fits snugly and there's not any excess space in that area, then you really don't need to ever take it apart, except for maybe that occasional deep cleaning or something like that. But a pipe that isn't maybe as nicely or finely crafted, sometimes there will be a little gap in there between the end of the tenon and the beginning of the mortise hole, if that makes sense. So that little area in there that receives the tenon, sometimes there might be a gap in there if the pipe isn't quite as finely made or engineered or whatever. Some great pipes that have that feature. But a lot of these high-end artisan pipes are just real particular about making sure there's no gaps in there. So that's why I'm using that kind of language. But if there is a little gap in there, then you may want to take it apart a little more often just to scrub that little area at the end of the tenon and where the mortise hole kind of begins. So I hope all that makes sense. I'm using language that folks that aren't super familiar with pipe making or structures, may or may not know. But anyway, on average, if your pipe will run a cleaner without taking it apart, I hardly ever take mine apart. I hardly ever do. And if you are doing a deep cleaning where you're sitting down one day, kind of like we talked about, scrubbing all your pipes, watching a movie or something, and, it just kind of getting them all done at the same time, and, making sure everything's just real spick and span, once a year, maybe that might be a good time to take them apart. But other than that, if you can help it, I typically don't. So a lot of pipes don't have that luxury. A lot of pipes, you do have to take them apart in order to clean them, because maybe the bend is a real deep bend, and it doesn't, the pipe cleaner doesn't bend very easily. There might be a filter in the pipe, which you say you don't have filtered pipes, so that's not your case, Charlie. But other times the end of the tenon doesn't line up perfectly with the mortise hole, and so there's just not a way for the pipe cleaner to go. And and some brands just don't put a lot of emphasis on running a pipe cleaner. That's just not really an important thing for them. So those pipes you're going to have to take apart to clean, that's fine. Just want to make sure you let it cool down and all that kind of stuff. But if you're like me and really like to smoke pipes where they'll run a cleaner without having to take it apart, then I hardly ever take mine apart. So I hope that helps.
There you go. Yeah, and actually over the course of this series, you can kind of go back and you'll hear John David at varying levels of passion discussing the need to not take your pipe apart. I want to say that in our first like pipe shop fails, this was a pet peeve of yours, of people taking their hot pipe apart, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's like, you know, if you're going to buy a $300 pipe, don't take it apart when it's hot. Don't use a torch lighter on it. You idiot.
Wow, there you go.
Moving right along.
All right. Well, great question, Charlie. And hey, Matt, if you've got a question for us, another question for us, be sure to send it in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback, man. We got a great some listener feedback in from Ted Damon. I really appreciate listening to your podcast. I've been listening for 4 years. I really look forward to the new episodes each week. I don't have any suggestions for an episode per se, but given the recent episode on hunting pipes, maybe one on desk pipes, as they are definitely one of those weird oddities one stumbles on sometimes at antique shops. My local shop up here is just for him. They are a good bunch. Desk pipes. What are desk pipes?
Yeah. Desk pipes. Well, it's a pipe that sits on your desk, and a lot of times they'll actually have a hose attached to them, almost like a hookah.
Oh, wow.
You don't see them very often, but they are out there, and kind of weird. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. But they're tobacco pipes.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I guess you could argue that. I mean, I guess technically hookah is, but are they more akin to pipe like our pipes or hookah pipes?
It's meant for smoking, you know, pipe tobacco as we know and love. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. No, that might have to, I'm making a note of that right now. We might have to circle back on that one. Also, we got in from Jay Freedy. He says, "Hey, Bo, now that you're in Houston, have you tried Viet Cajun yet? I figured with your love of New Orleans and Cajun cuisine that you may have tried it. Just saw a couple of specials in the way they cook crawfish and it looks delicious. Hope you're doing well, Jay Freedy." No, Jay, I have not, but I absolutely will. That sounds amazing.
Viet Cajun? That sounds Cajun. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, but, you know, Houston being kind of the, I'm starting to consider Houston the food capital of the world, just the amazing, like, variety of food that you get here. And then with the insane variety, you also get all these amazing, like, fusion restaurants. And I'll be honest, man, some are hit and miss. There's one particular restaurant that I've been to, I think, at least three times at this point. I don't know why, because I don't even like it. But I think it's just morbid curiosity, because they fuse a lot of different styles, flavors, and dishes, and they're always terrible. I won't call out the name. I'm just saying that the fusion can get kind of interesting. But Viet Cajun does sound amazing, so I'll be on the lookout.
Is it like the Serenity of restaurants?
I like Serenity. Oh, no. I'm sorry. You're not talking about the movie. You're talking about, I know what you're talking about now. Yes. It's like that. Firefly. You're thinking of Firefly.
Firefly, that one. It's the Firefly of restaurants, right?
I like Firefly. Firefly is excellent, man. This is not a place to hate on Firefly, right?
It is if you want to have opinions and stir up conversation.
I suppose this is true. Was there no pipe smoking in Firefly? It seems like there should be pipe smoking in Firefly. I'm going to go back.
Well,
and
it's
check
just on a, that. A combination of all kinds of crazy thing, fusion stuff, right? And then the end product is just generally terrible. But you keep going back for some.
Wow. I think you're going to get the hate mail on that one, so I'm just going to let that one air. All right. Well, there you go. Great listener feedback, and thank y'all so much for that. Hey, if you want to send us some feedback, thoughts on the show, or otherwise, be sure to send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. I'm at The Real Bo York on Twitter.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
Or the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Man, shout out to Cody for joining us this week. Really great to showcase him. And like I said, hopefully we'll have some more Pipe Club members to showcase in the future as we kick off and start a little bit of a new series here. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, let's go have a week.
You too, man. Wash your hands. See you, brother.